Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
How do you do an action in a way that brings him glory instead of you glory? You glorify strength by trusting it. You glorify medicine by taking it. You glorify food by enjoying it. You glorify beauty by looking at it. You glorify wisdom by following it. You glorify refuge by running into it. You glorify wrath by fearing it. You glorify forgiveness by rejoicing in it. If the motive is to impress people with how great God is and how wonderful his attributes are and not how great you are, then the method of glorifying God is to show how great each one of his attributes is by enjoying it. How do you eat and drink and sleep and work and play and everything else in a way that glorifies God? By doing those things in a way that becomes a delightful experience of one or more of the attributes of God. And then people will see that on Judgment Day when everything's exposed, and they will glorify God because his attributes will be made glorious by what you were doing and how you were feeling. You see that? What about doing laundry? 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. And if anyone serves, that's the laundry, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. See that? The way to serve your family, to do the dishes or the laundry or to earn an income or to clean the garage or to shovel the walk or to vacuum the living room in a way that brings glory to God is to serve in a way that draws strength for the serving from God, the strength that you need to do the serving. People who depend on their own strength are just weighed down and burdened by the whole thing. It's oppressive. Their task, their daily work is oppressive. People who depend on God's strength are full of joy and full of hope because it's strength-giving. So serving in a way that shows total dependence on God's enablement is one way to bring glory to God. But it's not the only way. Well, how about other ways? What about talking on the phone? How do you do that for God's glory? You can just talk on the phone to talk, or you can talk on the phone in a way that shows that you love the person on the other end of the line, and you love them because God loves that person. How about going on vacation? How do you go on vacation in a way that shows your belief in all the wonderful things about God being true? How about reading the paper? How about taking a shower or watching TV or driving to work or doing your homework or cleaning up your room or brushing your teeth? All the aspects of life. You know, I want to preach a sermon series one day. One of these days I want to do this. Just preach a sermon series titled A Day in the Life of a Christian. And just go through each one of these things and explore ways to do them that will glorify God. That would highlight various attributes of God. I think if you picked one of those, just one activity per day or per week or however long it takes you to figure out how to do it and way to glorify God, and make that the subject of your devotions, you'd be busy for a while. And when you get done with that, if you want something else, you want to change of pace, how about this? What if you then started picking one attribute, take it from the other side, take one attribute of God each day and try to figure out ways that you could live in your normal daily routine in a way that points to that attribute, that shows it to be how it shows how wonderful it really is. What can I do, God? You can pray this. What can I do that would show your strength to just be really, 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 really strong and trustworthy? How could I show that today? What kinds of things can I do today that would put on display how desirable your wisdom is? What could I do? What could I do that would show your kindness, or your holiness, or your beauty, or your nearness, or your comfort, or your eternality, or your forgiveness, or your justice? What could I do that would put you on display as a giver of rest today? Or giver of honor? How could I show your guidance to be worthwhile in the way I live today? The answer to most of those questions has a great deal to do with how you feel, doesn't it? It's not just what you do, it's how you feel. For example, when you're the guy driving, remember I said the way to glorify strength is by driving across, not just driving across the bridge, but driving across the bridge comfortably and not scared to death. Right? It has to do with the way you feel. So you ask yourself, when are you afraid and when are you not afraid? The times, if you're afraid in the right times and not afraid in the right times, that can glorify God or that can glorify you or glorify something in this world. Just the times when you're afraid and when you're not afraid. Some people are afraid of people and circumstances and of the future and of the economy and of the government. But they're not afraid at all of displeasing God or breaking His law. That's not really that big a deal for them. Other people are scared to death of God's displeasure, but not one bit afraid of anything on earth when God is pleased with them. And if that's you, then your fear is accomplishing an awesome thing. Just your fear or your non-fear. I think we have to maybe redefine sometimes what we think of as good works. This is a great work. To be afraid at the right time and to be not afraid at the right time. Because it would point to God's worthiness to be feared and as one of His attributes. That's part of His glory. Sometimes you're bold and sometimes you're timid. When are you bold? When are you timid? If you're especially bold when you're relying on your considerable skills and your considerable wisdom and your considerable experience, but you're timid, when you don't have those things to rely on, you're in an area that's new and all you have to rely on is one of God's promises, well, what does that do? It minimizes God's reliability. It minimizes His glory and it glorifies your experience and wisdom and ability. But if you're timid when you have to rely on your own resources and you're bold as a lion when all you have to rely on is God's promises, what does that do? It glorifies God. See that? Glorifies His faithfulness. When are you happy and when are you sad? When are you motivated and when are you unmotivated? When are you interested and when are you bored? When are you pessimistic and when are you optimistic? When are you angry? And when are you looking forward to tomorrow? The answers to all those questions will glorify something. Either God or something in this world. You might be thinking, okay, well, that all sounds very interesting, and it's great that I have my devotions all spelled out for the next 10 years, but what about in the meantime? I mean, what am I supposed to do? I look forward to getting all that figured out and answering all these questions, but what am I supposed to do now? Is there anything I can do just this afternoon before I figure out all the answers to all these questions that will glorify God? Well, all those questions I brought up, they're in some ways difficult. I mean, figuring out how to read the newspaper or eat some potato chips in a way that glorifies some attribute of God might require a little thought, a little study. But in another sense, figuring out how to live in a way that brings glory to God is actually very simple. In fact, I think it can be boiled down to just one word. Faith. Trust. Anything you do that will bring glory to God, anything you do will bring glory to God if you do that thing by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you obey 1 Corinthians 10:31 so that everything you do, whether you eat or drink, it all brings glory to God? You do it by following the parallel passage in Romans 14, which is talking about the exact same thing. Romans 14:23, the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats because he's not eating from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. The way to not bring glory to God in the mundane details of life, like eating and drinking, is by doing them apart from faith. But if you do them in faith, they glorify God because they show Him to be trustworthy. Every time you ever trust God, that'll bring glory to God. Anything you ever do that comes out of faith will bring a roar of praise and glory to God on that day. The guy who piles his family in the van, drives across the bridge without anxiety, what is he doing? He's trusting in the strength of the bridge. The guy who goes to his favorite restaurant and glorifies the chef by how excited he is to eat there, what is he doing? He's trusting the chef to make some really good food. The guy who glorifies the effectiveness of the headache medicine by taking it, what is he doing? He's glorifying the medicine by trusting in its ability to work. You bring glory to God when you enjoy His attributes, and all of His attributes are enjoyed always through faith. Through faith. You have to trust that you're that they're good before you're ever going to seek to experience them, because it requires a certain amount of effort to experience the attributes of God. It's not just an easy thing to do. It requires some energy. And so if you don't fully trust them to be satisfying, you're not going to go through the trouble. You got to be fully convinced. It takes faith. It's all by faith. And you might be looking at verse 16 and say, I don't see the word faith anywhere there, Daryl. I mean, you're off the rail a little bit here. Oh, it's there. It's there. The actual word isn't there, but the concept certainly is. Instead of using the word faith, what Jesus is doing instead of using the word is just painting us a picture of it. Do you see the picture in verse 16? I mean, the word faith is an abstraction. Jesus doesn't want an abstraction. He wants us something concrete. He wants us to see what faith looks like. Notice the way he refers to God in verse 16. He doesn't say, do your good deeds before men so that they will glorify God in heaven. He doesn't say, do your good deeds before men so that they will glorify the Lord in heaven. What does he say? Let your light shine before men so they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father. Your Father in heaven. Significant that that's the way that Jesus decides to refer to God in this context. Instead of going on for pages and pages about the definition of faith, Jesus gives us just a picture that just says it all. Now, sometimes a picture is worth 1,000 words. This is really one of those times. The relationship between an ideal father and his son, that's just the picture of faith. We glorify God when all our good deeds flow out of our sonship, our adoption as his children. That's what faith looks like. We trust in him to take care of us like a child trusts his daddy. That we obey him with loving devotion, not the way you obey a law in the abstract or a policeman, but the way you obey a father whom you deeply love and whom you long to please, and whose approval you crave. We fear him, not the way you fear an enemy, not the way you fear a threat, but the way you fear a father that you deeply respect and love. We seek to please him, not the way a politician seeks to please the people or the way an insecure person tries to please everyone, but the way an eager son is desirous to please the father he loves. That way. We glorify God by enjoying his attributes, and we enjoy his attributes from the position of sonship, which is a life of faith, a life of trusting.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are a crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.